Pues poi si bhakti vedanta swami Prabhupada.
Jai Prabhupada.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Mohini Murti told the demons, "O thorns of Kashyapa Muni, I am only a prostitute. How is it that you have so much faith in me? A learned person never puts his faith in a woman." Purport. Chanakya Pandit, the great politician and moral instructor, said, "Vishvaso naiva kartavya shri su raja kuleshu cha." Never put your faith in a woman or a politician. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was pretending to be a woman, warned the demons against putting so much faith in her, for she had appeared as an attractive woman, ultimately to cheat them. Indirectly disclosing the purpose for which she had appeared before them, she said to the sons of Kashyapa, "How is this? You were all born of a great rishi, yet you are putting your faith in a woman who is loitering here and there like a prostitute, unprotected by the father or husband. Women in general should not be trusted, and what to speak of a woman loitering like a prostitute?" The word kamini is significant in this connection. Women, especially beautiful young women, invoke the dormant, lusty desires of a man. Therefore, according to Manusamhita, every woman should be protected either by her husband, by her father, or by her grown sons. Without such protection, a woman will be exploited. Indeed, women like to be exploited by men. As soon as a woman is exploited by a man, she becomes a common prostitute. This is explained by Mohini Murti, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agnati Mirandasya Ganam Janam Shalakayam Chakshurumiritam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Namo Mahavadamyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goradjise Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadharo Shiva Sati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patitanam Namo Vaishnavyo Namo Namo Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangam Nagayati Girim Yat Kripa Mitamaham Vade Shri Guru Dina Dharam. So this is an interesting statement by the Supreme Lord, how Krishna likes to play, and at the same time to say the truth. It's very interesting because Krishna is criticizing the woman, but for doing so he appears himself in the form of a woman. Like this he cannot be criticized because he is actually criticizing himself. Indirectly criticizing woman, but actually he is not taking the role of a man criticizing woman, but appearing in the form of a woman in order to criticize the woman in the form of criticizing herself. Very strategic way Krishna is doing. And we can see the humility of Krishna. When he appeared, he just say, "I am only a prostitute." Can you imagine? The Supreme Absolute Truth appearing in front of you, and manifesting such a beautiful body that, because this is transcendental, feathers, that everybody becomes completely captivated, like Abhiram Prabhu was describing. When you meet the Supreme Lord face to face, then the experience is so intense in terms of bliss and beauty and love and compassion that your body cannot remain untouched by the... You cannot really, how to say, contain the experience. It's so intense. But that person after tell you, oh, I am only a prostitute. Then all your understanding become lost also. Like when the four Kumara arrived in Vaikuntha, you know, and they were blocked by Jaya and Vijaya, they were checked to enter. They cursed Jaya and Vijaya. Then at that time, Lord Narayan felt something wrong is going. So he arrived on the spot. And when they saw him, they became completely stunned by the experience. Symptoms of ecstasy appeared in their eyes, in the form of tears, in their body, in the form of being stunned, shivering, you know. They became speechless. All this appeared in them because the experience was actually, the experience is unlimited. When you experience Krishna, this is not describable because this is unlimited experience. So this is like you become completely overwhelmed by something which you don't know what it is and which is flooding all your senses with an experience you had never got before. So they were in such a condition, and what Lord Narayan told them, actually this is my mistake, because the mistake of the servant has to be considered like my own, the mistake of the master. He is the responsible. But what can I do to compensate, to repair the mistake of myself? If you want, I can cut my harm. He said that to them. And then they became completely confused, because such an extraordinary personality saying such words. Because one of the six opulence of the Supreme Lord is Vairagya, unlimited renunciation. That means he has no pride. He is completely humble. Even though he possesses all qualities in an unlimited way, he has no ego. Abhimana shunyatai akaribetai. You know this song that Tim Nataku is writing. Akrodha paramananda nityanandara. Abhimana shunyatai. Lord Nityananda had no ego. So he would go door to door and knock at the door himself of the people and beg them, please, chant the name of Gauranga. I'm begging this to you. I don't want alms from you. I just want, please chant the name of Gauranga. This is the only alms I'm begging. If you do so, then you will purchase me. That means if you just chant the name of Gauranga, I offer myself to you as your servant. This is Supreme Lord. How can we understand? Then after this, Nitai would fall on the ground and start crying and rolling on the ground. And this was not a show. This was just expression of his humility, because Krishna is unlimitedly humble also. Because every quality that Krishna has, he has this in an unlimited way. So this is the mood of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Narayan said the same thing. Okay, you want? I can cut my harm if you want. That will compensate, you think? And when he said that, Sukadeva Goswami explained that actually they became so much bewildered that they could not understand any of his words. They were thinking, what is he saying? You know, it doesn't make sense. In this world, nobody is in such a mood, you know, being so great, but still thinking of himself in such a way. So they became completely confused. They could not understand what he's saying. They were thinking, this doesn't make sense, you know. And the same way here, Mohinimurti appears before the demigods and the demons, and they all become completely overwhelmed by the experience, because, okay, externally she sees this is a woman, but indeed this is the Supreme Lord. So they just have darshan of the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is considered to be the topmost experience that you can have. And then that person, the first words that person said after they address her, by glorifying, they glorify, oh, Providence, I sent you here to show us. It was not the verse. No. Providence, by His causeless mercy, has sent you to please the saints and minds and of all of us. Is it not a fact? So they just spoke to her in such humble way, and grateful way. One, what she said, O son of Keshapa Muni, I am only a prostitute. This is Krishna. Krishna likes to, he doesn't like to assert, and yes, I am God, I am the Supreme Lord, no problem, bow down. It's not like that. He likes to reverse the roles, you know. This is his ecstasy, actually. Krishna likes to reverse the roles. And when he managed to reverse the role, then he becomes happy. Because it's like that. When you're the king, it's not funny every day to be the king, you know. Everybody wants to be the king, but the one who is the king is thinking, oh my God, if I could be someone else than the king. Because it's really tough to be the king, you know. What to say of being the Supreme Lord? It's not really funny to be a Supreme Lord. It's more funny to be the Dasa, 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 and Dasa. That's why Krishna wants to experience that also. And very often he manifests this moment. Then Prabhupada explaining on the nature of a woman. Never person, means Krishna is saying, Vishvasam pandito jatu kaminishu nayatihi. A learned person, means a pandit, should never put his faith in a woman. This is a true statement, which I have verified so many times in my life. But we have to know, when we are speaking here about woman, we are speaking about who is under the identification of being a woman. This is not anymore accurate for someone who understands, I am not this body. When someone realizes, I am not a man or I am not a woman, he becomes above all this description, you know, explaining the lower nature of woman. But we were just saying yesterday night, I read one beautiful quote of Prabhupada a few weeks ago. Prabhupada said, yes, we often say that the women are less intelligent, but, Prabhupada said, when they become Vaishnavis, then they become most intelligent. So Prabhupada warned us not to make the mistakes. So Vaishnavis are spirit souls. They should not be considered as being the identified to the body. And in that way they should be respected on the same level as men. Like Prabhupada, who was respecting so much his female disciple. It's incredible how Prabhupada respected Yamuna Devi. He had such love for Yamuna Prabhupada. He would go on morning walk alone with Yamuna when he was in Bhaktivedanta Manor. For hours he would just walk with Yamuna, speaking with her, showing a mercy that I don't know if many people, even among his male disciples, can claim to have been in morning walk alone with Prabhupada. But he would go alone with Yamuna. They would discuss like this. So, this is applying only for women who identify themselves as being a woman, and this is the same for men who identify themselves as being men. This is, as soon as one identifies with the material body, he becomes less intelligent. That's all. Because this is the first a few verse that Krishna explained in the Bhagavad Gita, no? Don't think that you are this material body, don't think you will die. You are of another nature, no? Nahanya mani, hanya mani shakiri. Nahanya te, hanya mani shakiri. Namriyate, najayate mriyate vakarachi. The soul is not identified with this body. It doesn't take birth when the body takes birth, it doesn't die when the body dies. So if someone doesn't understand that I am not this body, then maybe he has to go back to the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita and start again his study. But Maya is so strong that even if we understand one time during some few minutes, after again we identify with being either man or woman. But Prabhupada was expecting us to act on another platform to understand that we are spirit soul and behave in such a way. So this is interesting to see that this mood that Krishna can have completely in opposition with his supreme position. Like, he likes to become the servant of his devotees. He likes to glorify his devotees. When Sanatana Goswami arrived in Benares, Lord Chaitanya was in Chandrasekhar's house. And being the Paramatma, Super Soul, in everyone's heart, he knew, oh, Sanatana Goswami has arrived. Sanatana has been walking through the jungle of Jharkhand during months. It takes so long, you know, to come from Bengal to Benares by foot. Through the jungle. Have you ever been through the jungle of Jharkhand? No? Have you ever taken the train from Delhi to Calcutta?
Yeah.
Yeah? In that way, Delhi to Calcutta? Mm. The express train, you're leaving the evening in Delhi, you're arriving in morning in Calcutta.
Express.
The long one?
No.
Like 24 hours?
Yeah.
But when, before arriving in Calcutta, the last part of the trip, or if you take the express in the morning, when you wake up in the morning, like 6, 7 o'clock, you will find yourself in the jungle. The tree is in the middle of the jungle. There is no city during hours and hours. Only jungle, trees, jungle. This is Jharkhand. This is the state of Bihar. Such jungle I was looking, my God, this is like ocean of trees. There is nothing, only trees, during hours. Then I realized, oh, we are in Jharkhand. This is where Satan Goswami crossed by feet. So then he arrived, and because Bihar is just before Bengal, you know, so this is Jharkhand forest. And when he arrived, Lord Chaitanya said to the Chandrasekhar, "Oh, there is a great Vaishnava who has arrived this morning to Benares. He's go and see in the front of your door if someone is not here." So Chandrasekhar went with anticipation, you know. He opened the door and looked, and he saw nobody. And he came back and said, "My Lord, Prabhu," they were addressing Lord Chaitanya Prabhu, "Oh Prabhu, there is no one." And Lord Chaitanya told him, "Are you sure there is no one?" He said, "No, there is no one, there is no Vaishnava." And he said, "Have you seen someone? At least have you seen someone?" And then he thinks and says, "Oh yes, in the bottom of the stairs, there were some dervish, some Muslim mendicants with long beard and long hair. He was there sitting." Then Lord Chaitanya told him, "Ask him to come. Please ask him to come." And Chandrasekhar Acharya became a little bit surprised. "Are you sure you want me to ask him?" Yes. "Don't delay, ask him to come." And Chandrasekhar Acharya went back to the door. He opened and he said, "Hey, Darvish, I don't know what you have done, but today is your good fortune. The Lord wants to see you." Then that dervish stood up and very humbly, with a lowered head, started come in the stairs, climbing the stairs. Then he came in the doorway. As soon as Lord Chaitanya saw his form appearing on the door, Lord Chaitanya stood up and started running toward him. And Chandrasekhar Acharya just turned back and said, "Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running toward him." And then when he arrived, that was Satan Goswami did. When he arrived, Lord Chaitanya just touched Satan Goswami with his hand like this. And when Satan Goswami became touched by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, said, "The divine hand, Sri Hasta, the divine hand of Mahaprabhu," he became at once overflooded by pure love for Krishna. And tears started to flow from his eyes, and all symptoms of ecstasy appeared in his body, because he became like overflooded by ocean of love, you know. So, and Mahaprabhu took him in his heart and started crying. So Mahaprabhu started crying and crying. And Chandrasekhar Acharya was looking, why the Lord is embracing this darvish? He could not understand. And Satan Goswami, Prabhupada said, is the embodiment of humility, personification of humility. So Satan Goswami felt really awkward. And he said, "Oh Lord, please don't touch me. Please don't touch me." He cannot support, you know, that Mahaprabhu is touching his body, because he knows he's not clean, you know, he has been walking in the jungles in so many months and feeling himself, you know, despicable, very fallen soul. So when he was in the embrace of Mahaprabhu, he really felt awkward. Although completely overflooded by ecstasy, at the same time he really felt awkward. "Oh, Lord Chaitanya can embrace me like that. He cannot accept that." Because the mood of the Vaishnava, they don't like to exploit Krishna, they like to serve Krishna. And when they see they are not really serving, they don't feel good. So he was thinking, this is not really great service, you know. The Lord has to hug me and I am not clean, and so he would feel, oh no. He really desired to escape that situation, such a glorious situation. Can you imagine to be in the embrace of Lord Chaitanya? But he felt awkward. Oh no, what am I doing here? I should not be here. So yeah, but this is out of very deep humility. He said, "Please don't touch me. I would be happy if you stop touching me." Yeah, and Lord Chaitanya didn't listen any word that would. Satsang Goswami said, he took him by the hand and brought him to the place where he was personally sitting before, and then he sat Goswami, Satsang Goswami personally on his own asana. He sat, he made him sat there, you know, idam asanam, like we say when we're doing puja. We offer a seat to the deities, idam asanam. So this is now the Supreme Lord doing, reversing the role. He's taking his devotee, leaving the seat. Then after, normally we clean the body of the deities, you know, in order that there is no dust on the body of the deities, you know. And when Mahaprabhu started to do that, Mahaprabhu started to clean the body of Satan, Goswami, removing the dust that was coming from the jungle and all this. And Satan Goswami really felt much more awkward. He said, again, he said, "Please, Lord, oh Prabhu, please, don't touch me, please. Please, I just asked once, don't touch me." It became really insupportable. We can say, no, this is French. Unbearable for Satan Goswami that Lord Chaitanya was doing that. He really felt bad. And then Mahaprabhu told him, my God, I forgot. there is a verse. Bhavad-vidha-bhagavatas, tirtha-bhuta-svayam-prabhu, tirthi-kurvanti-tirthani, vanta-stena-gada-britya. Mahaprabhu said this is a verse that Maharaj Yudhishthir told to Vidura when Vidura came back to the palace in Hastinapur. And Mahaprabhu is quoting that verse from Bhagavatam, and he said to Santan Goswami, "Saints of your caliber are places of pilgrimage personified. Wherever you go becomes a place of pilgrimage. And even when you go to places of pilgrimage, you purify the places of pilgrimage. Because in your heart you're carrying the Supreme Lord." He said that to his devotees. So then Mahaprabhu told him that actually seeing your form is the perfection of the eyes. Touching your body is the perfection of the touch. And I don't remember something else. So he told, "Please let me continue for my purification." He said that. Supreme Lord, you know, reversing completely the roles. He's saying to Santan Goswami, no, please let me continue. I want to do more for being purified, you know. Sometimes we approach a Maharaj, we say, "Oh Maharaj, please, put your hand on my head to giving me some blessing." But this is now Mahaprabhu asking for Santan Goswami, "Please let me wash your body for being purified, and that will purify my mind." And he did the same with Amananda Roy. He said, "Actually, I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, you know, because he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati in the Mayavada line. My mind is just full of Mayavadi philosophy. Please, But by being with you, my mind is becoming purified of this Mayavadi philosophy, and appreciation of Krishna is coming. This is the mood of Mahaprabhu. So this is in such a mood we can chant the name of Krishna, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Lord Chaitanya is not a theoretical speaker like Krishna. Guru Govinda Maharaj would say this. Krishna is just a theoretical speaker. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita, but he just spoke. But Lord Chaitanya is a practical teacher, Acharya. He is taking the role of Acharya, showing the practical example. So this is the mood Mahaprabhu showed us how we have to be. And we see in Mohinimurti, again, showing the same mood. I am just a prostitute. What do you want from me? I am just a poor prostitute. Better you don't even look at me. No, it is not good because you are son of great sages. You should forget me and just normally this noble personalities, they will not even look at prostitutes. They will just shun them, no? Shun them. Why are you approaching me like this, with such a mood, offering me some prayers? So that's the yoga maya of Krishna. This is the way that Krishna is spreading his yoga maya, you know, for his pastime. He likes to break the Aishvarya, the mood of reverence that the people have, because this is not really bringing him happiness. Lord Narsingha told this to Prahlad. He said, Prahlad, please stop your prayer. Please. Okay, stop this, Prahlad. This mood of reverence doesn't bring me any really happiness. I cannot really find happiness in this. So, Krishna is always searching some interaction by putting himself lower than the others, lower than his devotees. Because this is the path, actually, of experiencing what we call ananda, or unlimited ecstatic feeling. Ananda is something that there is no experience, no existence in this world. In this world is only what we call sukha. Sukha, dukkha, da. Situshna sukha, dukkha, da. You know, sukha, dukkha. This is pleasure and pain. Sukha is a pleasure and dukkha is pain. But there is difference between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is some sensation experienced by the senses. And happiness is something experienced by the heart. It's completely different. Normally, nowadays people, they mistook pleasure and happiness. You know, they think pleasure is happiness. They think to get some nice sensation for our senses, this is happiness. But this is not happiness, this is pleasure. Just some kind of feeling, either in the sense of touch, or in the sense of taste, or in the sense of sight, or in the sense of sound. This is not happiness, this is just some contact between the senses and bodily senses, only experienced by the body. And it doesn't bring any happiness. Because happiness is experienced by the heart. It's an emotion that is overcoming our heart. And we become transported by some emotion coming from outside us and just coming like this. And you cannot control happiness. You cannot grasp happiness. In Sanskrit, happiness is called ananda. You cannot grasp it, because you are not the controller of ananda. We may only be a recipient of ananda, if ananda becomes merciful toward us, and let us experience Ananda is the name of Krishna also. Ananda is the name of Krishna because he is the embodiment of happiness. But Ananda doesn't mean only happiness, but it means unlimited happiness. Ananda, Ananda. Unlimited happiness. This is like ocean of happiness. Ocean of... it's difficult to find words to describe this. So... Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that actually Donya, or humility, is the source of Ananda, or unlimited happiness. In order to experience unlimited happiness, one has to be established in utter humility. This is not possible otherwise. With pride, there is no possible of experience of Ananda, or bliss. We call bliss also, bliss, happiness. Unlimited bliss is experience by those who are completely humble. This is why the Lord is like this. Because this is how he is relishing unlimited happiness. And by doing so, Krishna is experiencing boundless bliss, you know. Because this is the way. And he showed that. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami has written such beautiful conclusion about humility and ecstasy. He said that actually donya, or utter humility, means complete humility, not partial humility, complete humility. And prema, or pure love, which is this unlimited bliss, are non-different. They are only two words for the same thing. And they are actually feeding each other. Humility, or complete humility, is feeding pure love. And pure love is feeding complete humility. They cannot be separated one from the other. So the secret to experience love for Krishna is to become completely humble. And as soon as one experiences real love, he will become completely humble. And as soon as one will become completely humble, he will experience pure love. This is also inseparable experience. And he explained this. One cannot go without the other. That's why Krishna is showing us the path. If he is the source of all happiness, the source of experiencing topmost bliss, this is because of this, because he is in such a mood. Krishna is in such a mood. Krishna is not so much in the mood that I am the Supreme Lord. Because this is reducing his experience of Ananda. So humility is the cause of unlimited bliss. We have to understand this. And in the end of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni came back to Prayag and he explained to the sages what he had seen when he was in Dwarka and while traveling all over the universe, because in Brihad Bhagavatamrita's first part, Sanatana Goswami is explaining mainly two points. The first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is called In the Search of the Recipient of the Lord's Topmost Mercy. That was the desire of Narada Muni. He wanted to know who is the recipient of the topmost mercy of Krishna. This question appeared in his heart and he started a quest, you know. And he went to this devotee and he told him, "Oh, you are the recipient of the mercy of Krishna." And the devotee will tell him, No. I am the recipient. I am, how to say, I have absolutely received no mercy from Krishna. But that devotee, he has received the mercy of Krishna. Go and see him. So Narada would go to the next devotee, and the next devotee would tell him, no. I have received no mercy from Krishna. I am not the object of Krishna's mercy. And he would start to explain why. Why I am not the devotee. Then he would start to explain, but this devotee is the recipient of Krishna's mercy. And send him, Narada Muni, to someone else. So Narada Muni arrived, was sent to Lord Indra, then to Lord Indra, I don't remember, to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, no, he is not the recipient of mercy of Krishna. He sent him to Prahlad. Prahlad said, no, I am not the recipient of the mercy of Krishna. I never receive any drop of mercy. Because I was there, and Narsingha appeared, but how many times this lasted, you know? It was just a few hours, then he disappeared. I could not even offer any service to him. So, this is not really mercy. Then he said, but Hanuman received the mercy of the Lord, because he could serve Lord Ramachandra in so many ways. So, Narada Muni went to Hanuman, started glorifying Hanuman, and Hanuman said, no. I am not at all the object of mercy of Ram. Why? Because this and that, and he started to explain why I am not. Then he started to say, but the Pandavas, they are receiving the mercy of Krishna. When he arrived in Dwarka, he started glorifying the Pandava. Actually, not Dwarka, Hastinapur. And they said, no, we are not the recipient of the mercy of Krishna. When did we receive mercy of Krishna? Krishna never gave us mercy. You know, Arjuna told him, Krishna just cheated me when I was on the battlefield by telling me some kind of wrong philosophy in order to induce me to kill all my family. Do you think that this is mercy?
No.
He just told me some kind of wrong philosophy in order to make me do this terrible thing, and just after the battle was finished, he just went away. And we were there, deprived of his association and bereft of all our family. You think this is mercy? We don't think this is mercy. The proof is that he has abandoned us. Those who have really received his mercy, they are the Yadu in Dwarka, because he is always with them. So Narada goes to see the Yadu. And when the Yadu saw Narada arriving, this was in the assembly hall of Dwarka, this mystic assembly hall. What is the name? This assembly hall, constructed by Vishwakarma, who could expand according to how many people will enter, it will become more and more and more bigger. There is a name, I don't remember. So when Narada Muni came, all the Yadava, the Yadus, stood up, because they know this is Narada Muni, this greatest sage of the universe. You know? And they brought some paraphernalia to do the arti to Narada Muni. But what Narada Muni did, he just took the arti tray and did arti to the Yadu. Because this is the mood of the Vaishnava. They don't like to be worshipped, they like to worship the others. And like this, on it went, the Yadu explained to him, no, we are not the object of Krishna's mercy. Uddhava is the object of Krishna's mercy. Then he went to see Uddhava, and Uddhava told him, no, I am not the object of Krishna's mercy. The object of Krishna's mercy are living in Vraj. Because I went there one day, Krishna sent me there, and I realized. So during all this story, Santana Goswami is showing us what is the mood of a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava thinks he never received any mercy from Krishna. He thinks he is bereft of Krishna's mercy. and he thinks he's not a great soul. He thinks the other Vaishnava is greater than him. He's more humble, you know, than a blade of grass. This is mood of the Vaishnava. He thinks he has no love for Krishna. He thinks Krishna doesn't mind about him. He thinks Krishna just so, and then, so he's describing that aspect during the, and reaching finally to the conclusion that to demonstrate who are the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And then he will go on to demonstrate also that humility of Krishna. Because actually, when Krishna came into the scene, really entered into the scene, then hearing about the devotees of Vraj, Krishna became so much overwhelmed by feelings of separation that he just collapsed on the floor and started crying. He lost consciousness and started crying. So this is the position of Krishna, Supreme Absolute Truth. Likes to be, actually it's not likes to be, he is like that. He is always controlled by love, and he is always in complete humble mood. Narada Muni was shocked when he saw the mood that Krishna was revealing and this is not even Vraj, we are there only in Dwarka, because Krishna was so humble, you know. So, because this mood is the source of unlimited happiness. And by remaining in that mood, then we can experience really what is the ananda, unlimited ecstasy. Trina, this is why Mahaprabhu told us, Trinada Pisa Nichina Tarara Pisa Ishina Amani Namana Dena Kyatanya Sadari. Because if we are able to imbibe that mood, then everything will come to us. This is like magnet, you know. If you become magnet, then all iron will just become attracted by you. No? Because if you develop this, how to say in English, negative electrical charge, then positive electrical charge will be attracted to you. No, this is natural. A positive electrical charge is attracted by the negative very strongly. The more negative you are, the more the positive will be attracted with greater force. Because this is the how to say, the difference of charge makes the intensity greater. And same thing, when something is falling, the more it falls, the more the speed become start to increase. No, the more the weight is, the more it will be going faster and faster and faster. So, if we develop that mood of deep and sincere humility, then Krishna will become attracted to us. This love for Krishna will just become attracted and will come in our heart. Because this is the nature of love. Love is completely humble. Completely humble. And Narada Muni came, and then he explained all that story to the sage of Prayag. And when they heard this, Santana Goswami said that when they heard this, then they understood the conclusion of what was being essential in life and what was being superficial. They understood. From that day, before they didn't understand, they were sages, but they could not grasp. But at that moment, by hearing that story, they could grasp what is the essence of truth. This is Dhamma, humility. And then Sanatana Goswami said that by adopting that humility themselves, because they understood it is that, by developing it, then they earned the how we say this? They became qualified actually to receive the pure love for Krishna. And in his purport, because Brihad Bhagavatamrita is written by Sanatana Goswami, and he wrote the purport, so the commentary on it, he's writing that by becoming completely humble, by giving up all sense of pride and realizing that they were most fallen and by thinking themselves completely unqualified to worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, they received his mercy. They became recipient of his mercy. This is very interesting sentence of Sanatana Goswami. By becoming totally convinced that they were unqualified to serve and worship the lotus feet of Krishna, then they became the recipient of his mercy. That means that when this mood appears, then the mercy extends itself. The mercy of Krishna comes to us. Everything comes down in this way. Sevan muke hi jivado sayam viva suratyada. You know, this way. Atasi Krishna namali na bhavet grahyam indrihai. The name of Krishna is transcendental. It's completely divine. It's Satchitananda. You cannot catch it with your senses. Na grahyam, grahyam means grasp. You know? Nagrahyam Atasi Krishna Namadi Na Bhavet Grahyam Indriyai. Indriyai means the senses. Bhavet means in the future of possibility. You will not be able to catch it with your senses, the name of Krishna. You cannot. You can try, but you will not be able to catch the name of Krishna. Like we are chanting every day the name of Krishna. But with our ear, we cannot catch that name. Rupa Goswami told us. Na bhavet grahyam indriyai. You will never be able to catch the name of Krishna with your ear. So what are we doing? If we're chanting, it's supposed to be chanting and hearing. Sevan mukhe hi jivado. But if you adopt the sevan mukha, the attitude of service, or this attitude of humility and desiring to serve, then svayameva svurajada, the Supreme Lord will be attracted by your attitude and he will reveal himself to you because of your mood. So actually what makes the connection between us and the Holy Name is not the ear. The ear is just an instrument. But it's not sufficient to make the connection between the real name of the pure name of Krishna or Krishna himself, because the name of Krishna is Krishna himself, and us. What is making the connection between us and the name of Krishna is seva, unmukha. That means attitude of service and complete humility. Then the name becomes real and we comes in contact. You understand? Then we can experience the Divyanam, the divine name of Krishna, what it is. If we are not in that mood, we cannot experience. We can experience the sound or maybe the Namabhas, some semblance of the holy name, but not really the name of Krishna. For that we have to adopt that mood. This is what Mahaprabhu told us. Tinada pisa nichena kirtaniya sadahari. If you develop that mood, then holy name will extend himself to you. You don't have to do any other effort. Holy name will appear in your heart and just sing. Even all day long, even when you are sleeping. Like Satchinanda Maharaj said in his book Namarahasya, that actually there is two kind of chanter. The occasional chanter and the constant chanter. The occasional chanter is the one who is chanting sometimes. But at some times also he stops chanting. Even if he's chanting 10 hours a day, if after he stops chanting, he is called occasional chanter. But the constant chanter is the one in whose heart the holy name is always chanting. Even if externally he is not doing kirtan or chanting japa, the holy name is always chanting in his heart. And he's in his new book, which is called Broken Names, Satchinanda Maharaj further elaborates on this subject, and he is explaining that actually at a certain level of chanting, the holy name appears in the heart of the chanter and never leaves. Then it will remain there forever. And this Babaji, I don't know what was his name. Sanatan Babaji, he could not stop chanting. All night he was chanting under, you know, when he was on the basement of this kutir, and he could, this Vishwambar would hear him, and he would hear him chanting while crying all night long, non-stop. He would never stop chanting. He could not stop chanting. Because he has reached such a level of chanting where the holy name would become the firewood of his life. You know? So it's like constant lagya. After you cannot stop chanting, because the holy name actually is bringing you so much ecstasy at every second that you cannot stop. Just if I give you one ice cream, you know, like vanilla ice cream, you know, with some, you taste that, then after I tell you, Prabhu, stop. You will never listen to me. No? You'll say, what do you say? You cannot stop eating, you know, such tasty, just imagine some nice ice cream. Tasty ice cream with some caramel, some roasted almonds and peanuts there. Offer to Gornita. Then I give you one big plate like this, and you take one spoon and I say, oh, stop, Prabhu. How you will look at me? He said, come on, Prabhu. What are you saying? This is not logical. What are you speaking? You cannot, because taste is there. So taste is just nurturing you. Even if there is no hunger, you don't need to be hungry to eat vanilla ice cream. It's not a question of anger, it's a question of taste. So when the taste for the holy name, when you experience really the bliss of Krishna's presence in the holy name, you cannot stop chanting. You cannot stop. In that stage, Satchinanda Maharaj said, in that stage you're no more the chanter. You are the chanted. The holy name is chanting you. Reversing the roles. Because you become, and this is, he said that this is the real proper chanting. When the holy name, when you are no more the controller of the action, but you become controlled by the holy name. At that level, the holy name will bring you into some realization, will transport you like a blade of grass by the wind in somewhere. You don't know where you go. You cannot control, now I will think about this, now I will meditate about this. You cannot, because the holy name will give you so much ecstasy or realization in this that you just carried away by this. By this blowing wind of unlimited mercy of Mahaprabhu. So this is coming by Trinada Pisunichena. So in order to spread this Nam Sankirtan in New York City, we have to adopt that mood. Then our kirtan will become really effective. With that humility, Mahaprabhu stood, came into the assembly of Benares. All sannyasis in Varanasi were seated there, hundreds of sannyasis. He entered with the mood of humility and sat where they were washing their feet. You know? And because he was in that mood with Trinada Pisunichena, a few hours later, they were all dancing in the streets of Varanasi. No, then he transformed all this Mayavadi. I don't know if you have already had experience to try to preach to Mayavadi, but it's really hard. But he transformed their heart and make them chant, and then everybody start chanting and dancing. By his humility, he transformed their heart. Because he was so humble, they became captivated. So this is the path of Nam Sankirtan. Mahaprabhu has given us this wonderful treasure of Shikshastakam. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this Shikshastakam is like a necklace made of 8 jewels that the Vaishnavas, they wear around their necks. These 8 beautiful jewels. By meditating on these jewels, the whole beauty of the holy name will be revealed. This is topmost meditation on the holy name, is thinking about the Shikshastakam. And well, this is the spirit of Harinam Sankirtan. And Prabhupada was successful because he was in the same mood. If Prabhupada could spread the movement of Mahaprabhu all around the world, this is because he was in that mood. Radhanath Maharaj said once, Prabhupada was asked by a reporter, by a journalist, "Are you the guru of the whole world?" And Radhanath Maharaj was there, and he was expecting what Prabhupada will say. You know, because every spiritual master is would be just waiting for such a question to say, "Yes, I am." So the Prabhupada became silent. Then the journalist again formulated his question, "Are you the guru of the whole world?" And Prabhupada lowered in his head and Prabhupada said, "No, I'm just the servant of the whole world. That's all." And by that mood, because Prabhupada was in that mood, because of that, his kirtan reached the heart of everyone. When he was in Tompkins Square Park, because when they met the Swami, when Mukunda Maharaj met the Swami, because he was the first Mukunda who met the Swami in the Bowery. Prabhupada was living in 94, Bowery, just a little bit down, 26 Second Avenue. I went there the other day. 94 Bowery. Prabhupada was living there, and Mukunda Maharaj just nearly bumped into Srila Prabhupada when he was in the street. He saw that Swami, and he was shocked by the humility of that person, who was such a knowledge, you know, and he was so humble. And actually, I don't know if he met him in the street or was sent was sent by one of his friends.
Sorry. Yeah, his friend like gave him the invitation.
In the subway, in the bus. His friend gave him, oh, I met one Swami there, so he went there. But anyway, so he met him in the 94 Bowery upstairs. And they were all struck at that time, all who met Prabhupada for the first time, because he was so humble. And they had never seen humility. When you see real humility, it's really, how to say, it's really, I don't know the English word. It will turn you upside down, you know?
Overwhelming?
Yeah, overwhelming, but I would say like that will destroy all your references. You don't have any more references when you are in front of complete humility. And Prabhupada was in this mood. Saying, I am the servant of the whole world is not small words, you know? It's really deep thing. And Prabhupada didn't say this in order to show his humility. He said this because that was his mood from the beginning to the end. Prabhupada would not wake up at 1 in the morning, like Abhiram Prabhu was telling this morning, to translate Bhagavatam in order to show the world how great I am, that I am translating Bhagavatam all night long. And they, all fallen souls, they are only sleeping. I'm Mahabhagavat, and I don't sleep, I translate Bhagavatam. That was not the mood of Prabhupada. Prabhupada would walk up because he would think, this is my service for humanity. I am the servant of the whole world. I have to translate that Bhagavatam because this is my service for the humanity. I cannot give up, you know? Because he would feel, I am the servant of the whole world. If I give up, if I stop, maybe they will not have the Bhagavatam because of me, because of my fault. That's why he was not sleeping, because so much compassion, you know, and so much service attitude. So that, because Prabhupada was in that mood that I am the servant of the whole world, then when he started singing, that was really tremendous singing. Really, then it transformed from Tamsin Square Park, that vibration just destroyed all the illusion of the materialistic Western world. And just enter the heart of so many, many souls. And it will, again, because that vibration of Prabhupada Kirtan in Tomskin Square Park is still here today. Because sound vibration, like I was saying the other day, never stops. So you can always connect. Guru Govinda Maharaj would say that in Bhubaneswar there is the heart where Prabhupada stayed when he stayed 16 days in Bhubaneswar in 1977, last Nityananda Trayodashi that Prabhupada did on this planet. He was in Bhubaneswar. And he said, even nowadays, if you go at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can hear Srila Prabhupada's voice translating Bhagavatam. If you have the ears to hear that. So it is still there. You can obtain it. And he said, that transcendental song, if you can hear it, the voice of Prabhupada, that transcendental song will purify completely your existence and your heart. Because this is song coming from the level of pure love and utter humility. So powerful song. And Krishna is like that. This is why, this is how Mahaprabhu is. The power of Krishna is that because this is also his mood. It's not that Krishna is not like that. Krishna is like that. This is what is most astonishing in Krishna. That even though he is the supreme absolute truth, nevertheless he is the most humble also. Can you imagine appearing in front of all the demigods, all the demons? They all just like fell down at his feet, and he said, what are you doing? I am just a prostitute. This is humility of Krishna. Jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.